Welcome to The Grace Hour, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Paul Andrelonis, and I am joined by Pastor Dennis White in the studio. Today, we'll be talking about heaven, and the specific title of the episode is answering the question, what is heaven? And we both are coming at this conversation with fear and trembling, talking about something that really is above and beyond what we can really comprehend. But maybe we'll just start with talking about what people think about when they think of heaven, maybe just from a cultural standpoint, from just what's been passed down from, you know, culturally or just in people's imaginations about what heaven looks like. You know, there's pictures of angels in the clouds floating around. There's the pearly gates where there's somebody there, Saint Peter or whoever, that is checking the list to see if you deserve to go in or go out, and all these different things. In some ways I think it's impacted the way that Christianity is viewed culturally, and, you know, from an informational standpoint, where they say, oh, you believe in heaven, how can you believe in heaven? There's nothing up there in the clouds. We know there's nothing up in the clouds. And I think it's interesting to think about what heaven is like, what heaven means, what we are looking towards as believers, where, you know, heaven is the goal, or heaven is what we dream of and think about, and what Christ has, you know, called us to, and where he has gone ahead of us. And I think in these, you know, pictures or caricatures or cartoons that we make, or that humanity has made of heaven, it's kind of sourced in what the ancient scriptures, or even, you know, documents have said what the gods, where the gods are, you know, the Greek gods or whatever it is, they're up there, or they're in this place where these magical things happen. But we don't really have a ton of definition on exactly what it is, but we have some things that Christ has said and some things that the Bible tells us about what heaven is, and, you know, some maybe not in exact detail, but some information for us to know about heaven.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at the Bible, and especially the four Gospels, like, what we see is, like, I believe there's something around 16,000, you know, Bible verses that are in red, where Jesus actually spoke. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more than 80% of that is Jesus talking about, like, daily life. And then you look down into it even more, and you find that Jesus does talk about heaven, and you can narrow it down to about 10% of those verses actually speak about heaven. Hmm. And the verses that speak about heaven actually outweigh the ones that speak about hell. So we've always heard, like, Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven.
Yeah.
And actually, that's not true when you start counting and looking at words like eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe today we'll look at Matthew chapter 5. And in that verse alone, I mean, that there's two chapters really talking about Jesus's kingdom that he will have someday, and he'll be on the throne. So the Bible does have a lot to say, but we're approaching what he says from an interesting point of view, much like the prophets. Mm-hmm. When they were foretelling of the birth of Jesus and the Messiah.
Yeah.
And then they were looking forward to something. We are the same. We're not there.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I haven't died and gone to heaven yet. and then been resurrected. So we're looking forward. So when we were looking at it, there is a veil that is there. Mm-hmm. And we approach this thing, as you said, very carefully. Mm-hmm. But in modern society, I believe that, like, media, you know, TV, movies, the entertainment system has really grabbed a hold of this idea of heaven. And they have interpreted it, you know, without the Bible.
Yes.
Yeah. The first thing about what is heaven, the first thing that comes to mind is a movie that I watched when I was young. And I think it was even made before I was born, but that movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, there's this dog who's a riffraff, doesn't deserve to be in heaven, but somehow he gets there, but doesn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
There's harps, halos, wings,
yeah,
clouds, pearly gates. And then, so in that, you're having this idea of heaven, you're having this idea that actually our pets go to heaven, which, you know, is a discussion.
Yeah.
You know, or actually it shouldn't be a discussion. The answer is no.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and you YouTube the word heaven and what comes up, but many R&B and rap songs talking about heaven, and has nothing to do with the picture that Christ puts forth in the Gospels, and has everything to do really with like a place of satisfaction. Like where I am as a being satisfied and happy and my emotions are at peace. And it doesn't, that doesn't mean that I'm in a place of perfection, but it means that I'm in a place where I am happy.
Yeah, and I think in some ways when we like try to say this is heaven, when we talk about our lives here on earth and we compare it with heaven, we are showing how little we know about what actual heaven it will be like, or what, how God describes it. It's like, oh man, I'm in heaven. It's like, okay, it's just a buffet, you know. It's not really like, and we are thinking these material things are going, are the things that will make like a place I want to be all the time. Which all, some of these things are some of the things we use to describe heaven, or are used to describe heaven, are temporary things that, you know, if you have enough of them, you will get sick of it.
Right.
But when, what we learn in scripture is that it is a place that where we will be with Christ and we will never get sick of being with him, or never be like over the glory that he has and worshiping and honoring him and you know, just like glorifying him for all of eternity. Like we think of that, and you, we were saying earlier, like you could get bored. Like, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? Like, we're just going to be there and just Jesus and us. And what's that? Why that doesn't sound so appealing maybe to some people, but when we realize the peace and the freedom and the joy and the love that we experience in his presence, it like can't even compare to like what we compare to here on earth. It's like not even, not even in the same discussion at all.
You bring up a good point. Like, I think a lot of our, our idea of heaven really comes from two things. One is either like a Gnostic view of heaven, where we kind of dismiss the physical and say none of that is there. That's why we get the picture of clouds and, you know, harps and, you know, nothing material. Because this is a very Gnostic view. And if you go into like a hardcore Gnostic view, you're going to find that actually, you know, heaven could be a typology of a place that I want to reach in my soul here on earth. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that it's very clearly a physical place. And the other side, that's kind of like what you're mentioning now, is that it's completely materialistic and void of the spiritual. But we look at the Bible, I mean, and this is not only a topic about heaven, this is a topic about all of Christianity, that it does involve both. It involves our spirit and our body. And Christ is concerned not only about us being in heaven, but also about the physical being. So when we get to heaven, there will also be that physical element. And we read about rivers, we read about trees with fruits on them that bring healing, which is interesting, especially the millennial reign. We'll have our perfected body, but those that survive the tribulation, there will be a tree where they could just go and, you know, eat fruits and be healed. There's, you know, physical buildings. There's positions that we will have as believers reigning over others, which means there's cities, which means there's organizations, which, you know, it kind of, in the marriage supper of the Lamb, I mean, that's literal. It's not figurative. So there's a lot of things pointing to the fact that, you know, this is a literal place. And there'll be physical things there, material things there, and we'll be able to enjoy them in our perfected spirits, our new body. You know, with our Father, with and with Jesus Christ.
And I think that that's like thinking about, like, in the Bible, we have all these, you know, the first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we have the word heavens throughout scripture, as we've already said. And there's the different levels of heaven, I guess, that are discussed. And this, the, and this initial one in Genesis 1 is talking about the sky and then the atmosphere that we have on earth. And then outside of that, the solar system. And then God's in the third heaven, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. But thinking about like that, those layers of heaven in Isaiah 66, the first verse is, he says, thus says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? And he's talking about the temple and talking about, you know, where he finds rest. But thinking about that, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, and those different layers of heaven, and how God, just the size of God, or God showing how like large he is, like where he is in all these different things. Like the earth is his footstool. Heaven is his throne, right? And he is beyond that. Like he's sitting on the universe, and he is beyond the universe and beyond everything that we can imagine and know, right? And I think like thinking about that, the immensity of who God is, like he transcends everything, and that's the place where he inhabits, the place where he dwells, has to also transcend everything that we understand from a creative standpoint, from a creation standpoint, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we can think of it too this way, like as far as we can see with this new telescope, the James Webb telescope, and how far we can see, that God is beyond all that.
Yeah.
And not only, you know, not only is Earth his footstool, but the solar systems and all the planets. Exactly. All the planets.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for us, I think we could do that. We could define, because the word heaven is used in multiple ways in the Bible. And I think that needs to be defined. Yeah. And there's like Hebrew and Greek words that define it, but also context defines it. And, you know, good hermeneutics tells us always not to only look at the word itself, but also look at the context. And I love the first one that you're mentioning is that this is where God dwells. It is God's dwelling place. It is where he is. And we could look at the verse that you said also, Psalm 103 verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. I mean, it's amazing to think that in this word here, you know, in the Hebrew and in the Greek are both meaning like this is where God dwells.
Yeah.
That's what we mean by heaven here.
Yeah.
And we could go through the Bible and mention many, many verses. Mm-hmm. But and often, and this is kind of like what we're referring to in this this topic this week, and you know, for Grace Hour.
Yeah.
We're thinking about that.
Yes. Yeah.
We're not thinking about these other heavens, you know, referring to, you know, the solar system, the planets and the stars, or even our own atmosphere. Like there's, if we could look at it that way, like there's the atmosphere, heaven number one.
Yeah.
Heaven number two is where the planets and stars and galaxies are. And then beyond that is heaven number three. And that is where God is.
Yeah.
Presently, right?
Yes.
And he's looking down. And it's amazing to think. I mean, it says, right? It says that Paul was brought into the third heaven.
Yes.
And that's like, how do we digest that?
Yeah, that's a good.
Exactly. Was it a physical? Was it out of body? You know, you know, was he, his body here and his spirit? I mean, it is really interesting to think about.
Yeah.
But I think the context that we really need to understand is that God is above all. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, he is the creator of time, matter, and space. In the beginning time, he created the heavens, space, and he created the earth, matter.
Yeah.
So he's creating all of this. So is it impossible? And he is existing now outside of time.
Yeah.
And but somehow he's still here. Because it says, like you read in Isaiah 66, that the earth is his footstool. So somehow,
the earth is his footstool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like so, he's inside of time, space, and matter, but on the same side, he's outside of it. You know, so it's really, really amazing. I mean, this is kind of the topic, but not.
No, yeah, but I think in some ways it's like God's dwelling place, like where God dwells, right? There's like can be and where humanity dwells. Right. There is an overlap that happens there. And I think like in the Garden of Eden, when God created man and woman, created, you know, creatures, you know, plants, all those different things, God and man were dwelling together in the garden. Right. God was walking in the midst of the garden with Adam and Eve. Right. And I think in some ways God's plan was to have that fellowship where God and man would be one. would be together. And that was here. That was like the reality of it. Like, and I think in some ways that's what heaven is meant to be like too, where God and man dwell together. And maybe we get glimpses of that here now where like, okay, God is in heaven, and but heaven is actually here, and we are experiencing him in some ways differently than we can imagine, because we don't understand how he can be everywhere and with us and be outside of time and be, you know, all the different things that make him who he is.
Yeah.
I think though that overlap is something that we had, that was when God created us, that what we were made for, and we messed it up. And then at the end of time, that's where we will be once again, is where God and man will dwell with each other, will in unity and in with his authority overall.
Like, yes, it's,
he still has authority overall, but, and then the reality of that will be true for everybody to see, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like the only way we're able to understand heaven is through Eden.
Yeah.
Like, you know, pre-fall.
Yes.
You know, because that is where, you know, God created, everything is there. There is perfection. You know, the presence of God is there. You know, humans are there, and they're in perfection also.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So when we look back to how it was,
yes,
we like are wondering, could this be how heaven will be?
Yeah.
You know, and the answer is maybe. Maybe it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not. You know, it could be better, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we don't really know specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible does lead us into different passages on, you know, what heaven may be like, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I think, like, Jesus talked a lot about, like, him. Well, he said this to the disciples before he was going to be crucified, that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And this John 14 is, you know, where that speech is. I think it's at the upper room. He's talking to the disciples, and, you know,
yes,
he says, don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me, right? My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And thinking about that, he is going to prepare a place for us. That place, you know, a place of rest, a place where he will be, right? He's not preparing that place for us to go and like have our own heaven, like have a place where we are by ourselves, or where it's, you know, he's preparing something different than what we have here on earth. And he's going to prepare a place where he will be there and we will be with him, because he says that, in the next verse, verse 3, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know, right? And, you know, the disciples are like, what is that? Like, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? Thomas asked that, like, the next verse, where are you going? But thinking about that, like, he is going to prepare a place, and he will come and he will bring us to himself. And where he is, there we will be.
Yes.
And I think that that's like, when we think about heaven, like, can we fly? Are there big is our house? Yeah, exactly. It's like, you just imagine, like, you know, Sunday school, you have a teacher that's a little amped up about heaven. They talk about, oh yeah, you can fly, you can do whatever, you can, you know, move through walls or whatever, like Jesus did when he came, you know, all that stuff.
And those might be true, right?
Yes, exactly. Like, I'm not, but let's focus on like what the whole point of heaven is that Jesus is there and we will see him, and then and his glory will be the light, you know, lighting up everything. So like, heaven is about us and Jesus and him bringing us to himself, or him making it possible for us to come to him really, and living in that.
I want to read that passage actually, to me, you know, being from New England, you know, from Maine up in the woods, like that verse is actually my nightmare.
It is
like that. I'm going to be living like in this mansion with a bunch of other people, like way too many people.
Okay.
You know, it sounds terrible, actually.
Yeah. Actually, when you put it that way,
like, imagine you're going on vacation, all your family is there. mm-hmm. you know, crowded in that little Airbnb, and you're all trying to make breakfast, lunch, and dinner together.
Yeah.
And there's 15 people in the same house. Like, yeah. It doesn't work well, does it?
Well, you're describing what we're going on vacation tomorrow. So I hope it, I mean, it's gone well so far.
It's not heaven.
It's not heaven, but there's moments, of course. But yeah, I think like you, yeah, the heaven will be a place where there won't be that, of course.
Well, the point is what doesn't matter, you know, what, the, I mean, that's not the point is what we're trying to say. The point is the presence of God, Christ, Christ's kingship. You know, another verse that goes well is Isaiah 65, verse 21. Mm-hmm. And it says, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruits. Hmm. I mean, again, just kind of pointing like a little glimpse of what heaven, you know, physically might actually be like.
Yeah.
You know, and being a carpenter myself, like I enjoy the idea of actually being in a place where I could build.
Yeah.
You know, build, I could build a house. Like maybe I'll be building, you know, my grandchildren's house or something like that, you know, helping the Lord, being the general contractor.
Yeah.
You know, build a place, you know, for my, you know, my children or somebody else, you know, God knows.
Yeah.
But the idea that there is a physical place and it's just a little idea of what heaven might be like. And we can continue. I mean, Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, it says, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, and all the first heaven, the first earth, they passed away. There was no more sea. And it just talks about there being something new and perfect, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these ideas that we are reading in the Bible, you know, stimulate our imagination and excites our hearts.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point. When we do look at these little glimpses of what heaven could be like, that's what God is trying to do. Because earth can be hard, right? There's death. We are let down constantly. We are sweating. We are working hard. We are living in the curse. So God says, here's a little glimpse of what heaven could be like. You know, here is the mansions, and you're going to be building. There's going to be vineyards. Here is the new heaven, and here's the new earth, and it's going to be perfect. Yeah. Again, glimpses of what it's going to be like for the very purpose of stimulating our imagination and exciting our hearts.
Yeah.
And we should be excited about the prospect of being there. Yeah. And God gives us plenty of reasons to be excited about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like we see in the parable where Jesus talks about, you know, we see the opposite end of that spectrum, like the shame or the worry about not being there in heaven. Like when he talks about Lazarus and the rich man, right? He's teaching those that he's teaching about this, you know, the choice that you have to make. And, you know, talking about, you know, it's in Luke 12. Wait, is it in? I can't remember where it is in Luke's, but he's talking about, you know, the Lazarus, who's a beggar, he dies and he goes to what's called Abraham's bosom he calls it Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man is across the great Gulf Fix and he sees, you know, he sees Lazarus and the closeness of Abraham's bosom. And I'm thinking of that as, you know, there's all these questions like, what is Abraham's bosom or what does that mean or whatever? And I'm thinking of, as I was studying it, I was thinking of it as like Abraham, the father of the faith, the patriarch of, you know, Judea, like the guy, the father of the faith is like somebody that everybody looks to as an authority figure or as like a religious, you know, icon for them. And then also thinking about the closeness that Lazarus has to this chosen, this guy, the icon for the Jewish people. Lazarus is in his bosom. And thinking about that in our closeness to like what our closeness is to Christ and in heaven, like we are going to be like lying on his bosom, like the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? Or sitting, you know, at his side was another translation of it. Lazarus was at his side, you know, just like the disciple who Jesus, John, was at the side of Jesus too. And thinking about, okay, this is the, you know, comparison, like, okay, you are comforted, you are loved, you are as, you know, the closeness that we will have with Christ will be without compare, and we will be with him and we will be as he is, right? The things that he is, we have as part of our identity now when we are with him, which we'll see the reality of what that means. Right now we have that as like a positional thing that we understand about our salvation and about our life in him, but then we'll like actually see what that means and what that looks like, which is an incredible thought to think.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. And I think of one word to kind of say that, the word is intimacy.
Yes, yes.
And to think that we'll be in a place, we'll be intimate, you know, with Jesus Christ. I mean, that's also exciting, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's funny to think about, we're talking about heaven and talking about these things that we know some about but not about. And like, I just couldn't help but think about John 3, when Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, and, you know, he's asking about all these things, and Jesus is like, are you a teacher of Israel, and do you not know these things, right? He's asking about. But then in verse 12, it says, if I have told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Right? Like, thinking about, like, I will believe in Christianity if I knew what heaven was like every detail about what heaven is like.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Like, if you could explain to me like all this stuff about what Christianity is and how long it's going to be and what the, you know, the millennial reign and the marriage supper of the Lamb and what exactly this looks like.
Yes.
I will believe.
Yeah.
Right. But the reality is that's probably not true, because we haven't even believed the things that Jesus has said himself, or a lot of people haven't believed the things that he said, where he, you know, bled and died. And it's a similar thing that happens in the parable about Lazarus and the rich man. He says, go send somebody to go tell my brothers about this so that they don't. And he's like, well, we have sent the law and the prophets for them, and they will, you know, decide for themselves based on those things.
Yeah.
So like, God has given us what we need in order to believe that heaven is real and that his work on the cross is enough, and that that's where we will be, you know, eventually. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's pointing to, because, you know, thinking of that, those statements you're saying, like when the prophets and the law were on earth, they weren't necessarily talking about heaven, but they're talking about the kingdom.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is like an interesting idea. And again, we see that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that there Jesus is talking about the kingdom and what it's going to look like. And like, we are first called to believe in these things, like what is being spoken of.
Yeah.
And Jesus is on earth speaking of earthly things, but they're spiritual, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's forgiveness, there's Sabbath, there's grace, there's anger, there's judgment, righteousness. I mean, these topics that Jesus touches while he's here on earth, and we also read about these things in the epistles. I mean, these are earthly things. And like I said in the beginning, like, they are dealing with the 80% of what Jesus talks about.
Yeah,
our godly earthly life. And in heaven isn't designed to be our primary focus.
Yeah.
And here we are, I mean, and we could say, well, if I knew heaven, and then we could say the opposites. Maybe that's another topic for a following week. I don't know. Yeah. But about hell.
Yeah.
Like, if I knew heaven was real, like, there's no evidence. Well, you know, we're trying to prove something, like the person of God himself.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, can we give evidence that brings you in that direction? Absolutely, we can bring evidence. But even if there was an evidence that could prove unequivocally that you have to believe, the nature of humanity is to not believe.
Yes, yeah.
So it doesn't matter, you know, one sense. And here's Nicodemus in John chapter, you know, 3, saying, I can't believe these things. This is too high for me. I don't understand. And yet I know the scriptures.
Yeah, he knew the scriptures.
We know the scriptures. And I still don't know these things about heaven. So here we are, I mean, and we could ask that question, right? It's like, I think Jesus answers it.
Some water.
There in the passage, right? Jesus is answering that there in the passage, is how does one even enter into heaven?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And, you know, on one hand, that's a simple question. On the other hand, we find that people struggle with this very much. you know, I was, yeah, I love these jokes about heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just read them. A lot of them are very, you know, Catholic, you know,
yes,
meaning
yes.
Peter is there at the pearly gates, letting people in into heaven, and they're hilarious, right?
Mm-hmm.
But why are all these jokes there? And it's because the question is how do I get into heaven?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, and especially if you're from maybe these other denominations, the question is never answered fully.
Yeah.
And that's why there's these questions.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying in John chapter 3 and throughout the entire Bible, it says it very clearly that you can know how to get to heaven.
Yeah.
In this place where God is reigning,
mm-hmm.
this place where God's kingdom is set up.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't want to talk about it now, but just except to mention it, but you could look at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and look at it in three different ways, that there is the type of people that are in God's kingdom. You see that in chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
verses 4 through 16 and onward. And then you see the principles that govern God's kingdom. Hmm. I mean, the reason why this is so important is because if we understand these things, we understand the importance of being in heaven.
Yeah.
Right? And we begin to see the value system,
mm-hmm.
the kind of people that are there, the value system that is there. But again, then we also answer that question, you know, in Matthew chapter 5, the same question that is in John chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
like, how can we get to heaven?
Yeah.
How? Is there a way to get there?
Yeah, and I think thinking about this kingdom and this, you know, thinking about heaven, it's like you have this, you know, Pilate is asking, you know, Jesus, when he's about to, when before he gets crucified, and about, you know, your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Asking him what he has done. And he starts talking about his kingdom. Like, he doesn't answer the question, really. Like, what have you done? He just says, my kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here, right? His kingdom is not of this world, right? And the life that we live in him is also not of this world.
Yes.
Right? And I think when we realize that reality, that Christ, he is ruling and reigning overall, like we've said before, and I am recognizing him in that authority, then my life is lived under his authority, and I am living my life in a kingdom that is not of this world.
Yes.
And a kingdom that is in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, you know, Jesus, and we're like living our lives, and I can't help but compare this with, you know, 1 Corinthians, where it's talking about like eternal things and temporary things, right? Like the kingdom of God, kingdom of Jesus Christ, is not a temporary one, which is what everybody thought he was going to bring. He's going to come with an army. He's going to conquer. He's going to deliver us, which would have been a temporary relief. But he has a kingdom that's not of this world, that is beyond this time in history and beyond this place on earth and beyond everything. And our life is hid in him, under his lordship, realizing that our lives are bigger than just, you know, this time and this place and what's going on in the world and in history right now. But it's actually so much bigger because the kingdom, it's his kingdom and his kingdom is over all and above all. And we can't even imagine what that means or what that looks like, but we can try to.
That's why we have the Bible.
Yeah, and we can look to him and say, Lord, you know, I don't know what all these things are or what's going on, but you know, and you're Lord of my life, so I can trust you in that.
And this is really like a kingdom mindset, isn't it? Like that Jesus is teaching, that he wants us to think, you know, have a kingdom mindset. In one way, we could say, you know, we could think about heaven, not necessarily the actual place.
Yes.
In the sense of, where's my house going to be?
Mm-hmm.
How big of a garden am I going to have?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to be watching, you know, my family from heaven? Will I be married when I'm in heaven?
Yeah.
These questions, in one sense, we could answer them, but also they're very silly. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not having a kingdom mindset.
Yeah.
Having a kingdom mindset is really to have the principles that govern heaven are principles that actually can govern us now.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
That's
can have those principles and begin to live that way. And in some ways, like, we want to live a life that the transition to heaven is as little of a transition as possible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Some people are going to be shocked. Maybe there'll be culture shock when they get to heaven. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for some people, they're spiritual beings here, and they're living with a kingdom mindset now. And that transition will be very easy and very joyful.
Yeah, like, I think of it in the mirror, the different references to mirror. Like, when we see him, we'll be like him. Like, some will see him and he'll look familiar.
Yes.
But others, they'll see him and they won't recognize him in some ways, aside from, you know, maybe the glass darkly image that they've seen for some time through their life on earth. But
we got a couple more minutes, and I want to maybe read a verse that kind of answers the question, like, how do we get to heaven?
Go ahead.
And I think we could answer that very easily with a word, but this is a passage that some people have a hard time with.
Okay.
So that's why I want to bring it up. So, and you're going to have to answer it.
Oh, great.
Nobody else, okay? If not, we'll just cut it short and leave you hanging, and hopefully the rest of the week they'll answer it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But it's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13, you know, on for a few more verses, and this is the narrow way. It says, "Enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." You know, and then jump down to verse 21, which is another, it's a very hard verse. Says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." You know, so we're asking the question, how do we get to heaven? And here is a very challenging verse for a lot of believers. And I think, you know, for us, maybe we're secure in it and we understand it, but maybe there's somebody that's listening today and they read that verse and they say, "Well, I shout, 'Lord, Lord,' I am, you know, praying, I'm reading my Bible, I sing your praises at church, and I've even been active," and if you continue to read verse 22, that they're active in the church, right?
Yeah.
But it says, "I never knew you."
Yeah.
So what, you know, if we were to ask the question, you know, how to get to heaven, and using this verse, you know, how could we answer that question?
I think those who, you know, answering the question is, you know, Jesus calls himself the door later on in the Gospels.
Yes.
And I think of it as this narrow way that says few there be who find it, right? And there are many who find the broad path that leads to destruction. And I like to compare these two as, you know, the way that everybody knows or that everybody thinks is the way.
Yeah.
And then the way that is the true way. And Jesus says, "I am the door," or he calls himself the gate for the sheep also. And I'm thinking of him as Jesus is the way, like, he's the door. And then along the way, along that path that's hard, he's with us. And then at the end of it, he's also at the end of that path. So I think recognizing who Jesus is in our lives is the way that we get to heaven.
Yeah.
Recognizing what he's done by dying on the cross, and recognizing that just because everybody else is going this way, and, you know, it's an easier way, maybe, or I've determined that this is the way that I think is the way to get to heaven, you know, and they think a different way is, but we're both on the same path that's going and leading to destruction. I've heard a preacher use a illustration, and if you go to the airport and you ask somebody, you know, if we're going to France, and we go to the airport, and you say, "Where's my plane?" And they say, "Oh, you can take any plane to get to France."
Yeah.
I was like, is that a true statement? That's not a true statement, but people don't feel like they can tell other people that which way is the way.
Good illustration.
Because there's only one way.
Yeah.
Like in that scenario, there's probably more than one plane, but in this, you know, example, there's
it's a
one
small
way.
Airport
yeah,
in
there's
Nepal.
There's one way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ and recognizing him. And, you know, yeah, I think that is, you know, in some ways in our culture, especially in America, it's like how can there only be one way?
There only be one
you
way?
You go to the grocery store and there's 50 million you know, kinds of cereal. How can there only be one way?
There's only
to
one
heaven?
Kind, Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch is the only good kind. That's the only heavenly cereal. But I think, yeah. So that's the answer. How do I experience heaven? How do I know that I find Jesus? I recognize him in my life, and then it's just honestly a continuous. Heaven will be continuously getting to know him and have him be in our life. So,
yeah, in this passage, people get hung up on that. Those who obey me.
Okay.
You know, so like, I have to obey the commandments of God. But if you follow the next few verses, verse 22, I mean, they were obviously obeying God.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something missing. It's not until a little bit later that we see it. I believe it's John chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
where we see that the after Jesus does a miracle, the Pharisees ask this dumb question, like, what could we do to earn the mm-hmm. works of God?
Yeah.
And Jesus's commandment wasn't like, okay, let's, you know, do this, and then I'll do something amazing for you. You'll pull a rabbit out of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
But his answer was very simple. He says, believe.
Yeah.
Right? Believe. Yeah. So when we look at obedience, the word obedience doesn't always mean that I have to fulfill a list of honey, do this list.
Yeah.
But it really very simply could also mean that it's that just believe.
Yeah.
And like you said it, you know, so beautifully, like, what am I believing? I'm believing in Jesus Christ as my mm-hmm. Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we, in my church, you know, we do say the sinner's prayer. We encourage people to say it.
Yeah.
But the prayer itself isn't what saves you.
Yes, yeah.
It's that in your heart there is this belief.
Yeah.
Not in a belief of that something exists.
Exactly.
Like, that's the first part. But then there actually has to be that belief or faith, dependence, reliance upon Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Yeah, and not belief so that I go to heaven. I mean, because that is the goal. That is like,
I want to go to heaven though.
I do want to go to heaven, but like the reality is, I want to go to heaven because of Jesus. Because Jesus is there.
Yeah.
Not like I want to go to heaven because I'll have a mansion and can fly and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think like because that's like, I don't know, in some ways, like a small way of thinking about it, if you could say that, I guess, like heaven without Jesus isn't really,
it wouldn't be heaven.
So like that's, they go together, and that's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Right. Is that we are with him and that, we are glorying in him forever. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to, you know, end the podcast.
Yeah. I'd say so as well. So
heaven is where God is, you know, in one sense.
Yes.
You know, he's here with us. This isn't heaven, so don't mistake the statement.
Yes.
But, you know, heaven wouldn't be heaven without God being there.
Yeah.
And if you're interested, listeners, in this topic, we encourage you to listen to this episode again.
Yeah.
Share it with your friends. You can find it anywhere you want on the internet. It's there somewhere in the great space of online.
Yeah.
And share it with your friends and continue to listen for the rest of the week because this will be the topic for the entire week, mm-hmm. heaven. And you'll learn different views of heaven and all this other amazing stuff about heaven. So we're excited.
Yeah. Amen. It's great.
So thank you for listening to the Grace Hour Show. This is a ministry. Oh, thank you. Of the Greater Grace World Outreach. I'm reading the wrong outro. But hey, we're thankful that you're here.
Yeah,
we're
are.
Excited that we could be here. We're privileged that we could speak into your life about these things.
Mm.
And we just ask you to tune in tomorrow as we continue this topic. God bless you.